Christ and crown this morning when dead in Christ shall rise. Glory of his resurrection day. When the chosen ones are gathered home beyond the skies, the road is called the song of happy. When the road is called up yonder, when the road is called up yonder. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the joy of knowing that someday, Lord, the trumpet will sound and the roll will be called. And Father, we thank you for each one who is here tonight, that you bless each one who has come. We think of those who may yet be on the way coming to bring them safely. We ask you, Lord, that tonight will be a night of rich blessings as we fellowship together, Lord, among your words. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And because we have a late start, I must go directly to the announcements. And then we can have testimonies afterwards. And you can share your blessings.
All right. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. Welcome tonight to Northfield Baptist Church. It's good to see Dawn back with us. She's had a couple health scares the last couple of weeks, so we're just thankful that she's feeling better. How are you feeling at this moment?
This moment, pretty good. Glad to be here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's keep praying for her to get fully out of the woods from this little health scare. And we're thankful that God has brought her through it. And pray for, as well, Miss Patty, as she'll be moving back on Thursday to her new apartment. G4 is a downstairs apartment right across the street from the laundromat, the laundry machine, so it'll be easier for her to get to it. And so we wanted to talk a little bit tonight about what we'd have to let her know. Betty said it's a good idea to let her know so that way she can kind of plan, but we want to try to see which works better for each one who is able to come. We want to give her a little housewarming welcome home type of party, because she hasn't been home since September, and so it's been a long time, and I'm sure she's really aching to be home. And she has, of course, the upcoming PET scans and chemo and all that, but this is a nice little reprieve for her right now. So what night works better for most of us to go over to her house? There in Summers Point, it's Ocean Heights Manor, right on Ocean Heights Avenue, right by the Wawa gas station, Summers Point, that's Ocean Heights Manor, and she's in G4. Friday night at 7 or Saturday afternoon at, say, 1, which is better for most people? How many vote for Friday night at 7? How many Saturday afternoon at 1 works better? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Okay? All right. Definitely a lot more for Saturday afternoon at 1. Okay? All right. So should we plan it for this Saturday? Okay. This Saturday, 1 o'clock, meeting right at Patty's house. Meeting here.
So we can go in the van.
Okay. Go in the van. Gotcha. Okay. Okay. If you have to drive, you know, if you have to get somewhere, feel free to drive too. But we'll meet here and go in the green van together. Yes.
For those that have seen Patty, is she going to be up for this?
I think so. I've seen her, and I think she will. I mean, we're not going to
stay too long.
Have a roaring party that tears the roof off, but or are we going to stay very long?
I guess I would just be concerned, please, if anyone is sick, they
well,
should not.
Yes.
Yeah, if anyone's
she
sick.
She will not be able to go in any treatment for her cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Her immune system is already probably well.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Okay, so please stay home if you're sick. It's any remote sickness, just to protect her. So what time should we meet here?
Quarter one. Could we get a general idea as to, barring sickness, who's going to be here? And so we can kind of make a little bit of an agenda so it doesn't become awkward, so that it goes smoothly.
Okay, and did you want everyone to bring a food item or
well,
a side item?
Well, that's
what
I'm about to get at.
Okay.
So I don't think it should be anything major. But if, let's see who's coming first.
Okay, so how many would be able to come at 1 o'clock Saturday to give her a little cheer for about an hour? Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So that's most of our regular members anyway.
Okay.
About 10, I'd say. Then if my family's up to it, which I doubt it at this point, just with the way things stagger. So probably only half of us. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Now, I don't know if I'm totally off base or not, so let me ask you. I would like your expertise. What are you thinking of insofar as a small food item? Nothing that needs much fuss, just a hand item that we could bring.
Yeah, like sandwiches, chips, I don't know, just light foods like that, just little luncheon items. That, what do you think?
I was thinking what they used to call in the olden days tea sandwiches, a sandwich cut into four pieces, just little, so that it's neat, it's no fuss, it's done, it's made already, and then if someone wants to, I would say individual bags of chips too. I wouldn't, as Tricia said, look for any avenue of passing germs. I just like to make it simple and, but yet, a little bit of a party for her.
Okay. All right.
That I don't know.
She's been asking for everything. Every week as I've been visiting her, she's been asking for hamburgers and this and that. And so I don't think... What's that?
She told me flat out there was no low-sodium diet.
Yeah, yeah.
She's not still diabetic.
Well, that, sugars, but...
And she was never really bad diabetic. The infection was causing that a lot.
Yeah, so monitoring sugars, but everything else she can have, regular stuff. Okay, so now we need, I think it's a good idea, after talking with Betty, is that we do need to tell her. We can't just show up on her doorstep.
No,
yeah, so, all right, so Carol, can you arrange and talk to her? Or who wants to be the arranger of this? Okay, Carol, you're it.
Okay.
All right, so she'll let her know, that way she can plan on it and be ready. And if there's anything she needs done around the house while we're there, you know, if there's a little light cleaning or whatever, we can do that. Esther, did you have any thoughts on that?
I'm probably going to visit her on Tuesday, and she'll give me a key, and I can kind of check and see how things are.
Okay. Okay, and then Wellington, John, and I are going either, John, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. She's coming Thursday, so we got to get the bed over there. Either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. So check your schedule. And, preferably before Thursday. And you said you have a sheet set, Carol? Okay.
So you said, I think you're going to have it done on Tuesday, on Monday,
Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, Monday we have doctor's appointments for our sicknesses, but Tuesday would work.
The earlier we get it there, better it would be.
Tuesday looks good for me.
All right, let's do it Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning has to be in the afternoon.
But oh, in the afternoon? Okay. All right, what time, John? Okay, so let's do plan for 1? 2 o'clock?
2.
Okay. All right, let's do 1 o'clock then.
Do you have a key?
Yes, I have a key. All right, let's move on then. Any more questions? See Carol or see Esther. Then our...
Well, I do have one more.
Yes.
If somebody
okay.
can help me make some sandwiches.
Okay. I thought we were all kind of just bringing a little bit of something, or would you rather have it planned out?
I think that we should. Yeah, I do.
Okay. All right. So who would like to help bring sandwiches?
I'll do some.
And I can do some.
She loves ham.
She does. Ham and cheese.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll make ham and cheese sandwiches.
Okay. So John's got some. Carol's got some. And about a bag, I can bring a bag of chips. Probably better for our family not to prepare sandwiches. So I'll bring some individual bags of chips.
Carol, you want tea sandwiches?
Yes, please.
Lady finger sandwiches? I'll just take it. Cut it in quarters.
Yes, sir.
And then drinks. We also need drinks. A Okay, Pat will bring some drinks. Okay. All right, anyone else want to bring a drink?
Again, I would suggest individual, either squatty bottles of water or bottles of water. I don't care. I only drink a squatty bottle. That's why I said that. Or, individual, whatever you want to bring.
Okay.
Things that come in individual bottles.
Juice boxes for the kids, or it'll be mostly adults, so whatever.
Bottles of either tea or soda. I see what comes in individual bottles or
some diet, I would imagine.
Some, I guess, yes.
And who else can help Pat with that? Because that's a lot to buy individual bottles.
Dominique? Okay. All
right, raise your hand again if you're planning on coming, barring sickness. If you're sick, obviously you won't, but at least you're planning on it. All right, we have John. We have Wellington, Pat, Esther, 5. Okay, anyone else?
I imagine Karen.
6, 7, 8. Okay, so about 10 to 12, I would say.
Okay.
10 to 15, just to be safe, on the safe side. Chairs, that's a good question too. Should we bring?
They're easy to fold up.
We can bring some of these, yeah. Paul and I will bring some chairs from the church. Actually, we're going to need your truck. Can you help us get some chairs? Yeah. Okay. So. Oh, and we can do them in the green van too. Okay. All right, we'll do that then. All right. Anything else?
I have him prepare the rice tonight, and he can bring them to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Nancy. Appreciate it. Paper products, yes. The church has paper products. Okay, we can get that. Paul and I will. All right, let us, at this time, ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings this evening. And remember, this Thursday night, for everyone in the program, please come at 7 p.m. so we can practice and have full dress rehearsal that includes the young people and the adults. And then also, we're caroling at Atlantic on Thursday morning at 10. Thursday's going to be a busy day between that and the Good News Club and the nighttime. Then also, New Year's Eve, we're having a Christian film called Beyond the Sun. It tells the story of a young man living in a Middle Eastern country, getting saved out of Islam. Very fascinating. So come on out, bring a friend. Monday night, December 31st, for our New Year's Eve time together here. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for the stay up the money, about the feet of the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Place of being passed around. Anyone who has a testimony would like to share tonight and tell about the blessings you have had throughout the past week to even today. Who would like to be first? Go ahead, Evan.
This weekend was a bit rough. Mm-hmm. First of all, it was when Mama was in the hospital.
Okay.
And we didn't know what to do, but she's home now.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank God. Okay, go ahead, Tricia.
I'd like to praise God for how He orchestrates things in our lives. Mm-hmm. And for my mother being 95 years old, she started to get dizzy
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the stairs coming down mm-hmm. to the second floor. And I just thank the Lord for her caregiver, Matilda,
mm-hmm.
and that God gave them both the strength to be able to get mm-hmm. fully down on the first floor, get to a sofa.
Right.
And as soon as my mom sat, that was when she fainted.
Right.
That it was terribly scary for Matilda because mm. my mom was out for like 3 or 4 minutes.
Mm.
And ambulance took her to the hospital, and it was very difficult the last few days. She's still my mommy. And to see my mommy at this point, it's quite heartbreaking.
It is.
And yet I praise God on the day that she was getting discharged. The discharging doctor was like just amazed that here's a 95-year-old woman, and he said, okay, so tell me, how did you get to be 95? And she said, loving God.
Amen.
She's loving God.
Amen.
So praise
Amen.
God for that. And,
that's right.
She is home, and a lot of changes will be occurring for her,
mm-hmm.
like no more going upstairs, but thank the Lord that she is still with us.
Amen. Praise God. For anyone else for a blessing from the past day or the past week? You'd like to share with us tonight? No? Okay, let's sing a little bit of a song. Page 801. We sing one verse and chorus, and then we will turn the rest of the service over to Pastor Rex. Page 801. We thank our great God who made us heaven and earth. Let's stand together as we sing this hymn, giving glory to the Lord. Talk about the greatness of our God, how great He is.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, and we do have a handout for some of our young men. All right. One other thing is Patty also found out that her family, who Dick and Marge, who she usually goes to for Christmas, is going to be out of town with their son and daughter. So if anyone would like to go over and visit her on Christmas or make arrangements for her, if anyone feels led to do that, I'm sure she would greatly appreciate having a family to celebrate Christmas with this year. So she just told us today through text about that. So let's be in prayer for Patty. And then let's turn to Revelation chapter 20. As we look at Christ in Revelation, in the bulletin handout, I hope you hang on to this bulletin handout. It's a great handout. It's, if you read about it, Jesus in every book of the Bible. In Genesis, He's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, He's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, He's the great high priest. In Numbers, He's the pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, He's the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, He's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, He's the great deliverer. In Ruth, He's our kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, He's the Ark of the Covenant. In 2 Kings and Chronicles, He's our soon coming king. In Ezra, He's the restorer of the temple. In Nehemiah, He's the one who rebuilds the broken down walls. In Esther, He's our Mordecai. In Job, He's the resurrection and the life. In Psalms, He's our great shepherd. In Proverbs, He's the wisdom of the ages. In Ecclesiastes, He's the one who turns vanity into virtue. In the Song of Solomon, He's our bridegroom. In Isaiah, He's the mighty God. In Jeremiah and Lamentations, Jesus is the weeping prophet, mourning over Jerusalem's sin and degradation. In Ezekiel, He's the fiery chariot that takes us to heaven. In Daniel, He's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. In the minor prophets, he's the faithful husband, the burden bearer, the mighty to save, the great foreign missionary. Jonah is a picture of Jesus. The avenger of God's elect, the crying evangelist, the restorer of God's lost heritage, and the son of right. In the Gospels, he's the Messiah, the faithful servant, the son of man and the son of God. In the book of Acts, he's the cloven tongues of fire. In Romans, he's our justifier. And in Corinthians, he's our sanctifier. In Galatians, he's our redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he's the head of the church. In Philippians, he's the supplier of all our needs. In Colossians, Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Thessalonians, he's our returning Savior. In Timothy, he's our mediator between man and God. In Titus, he's our faithful pastor. In Philemon, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he's the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, he's the father to the orphan, husband to the widow. In Peter, he's the chief shepherd. In John's epistles, he's the way, the truth, and the life. In Jude, he's the one who keeps us from stumbling. In Revelation, he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. If you look at more of the pictures in the Bible, he's Abel's sacrifice. Remember, Abel brought the lamb. And he's Noah's rainbow. He's Jacob's ladder. Why is the devil trying to attack the rainbow so much and trying to take it over for LGBTQT? Because that's Jesus. Jesus is the picture of the rainbow. He will not allow the earth to be flooded again. That's God's promise up in the sky. But notice, God's rainbow has seven colors. Seven colors. But if you look at the LGBTQ rainbow, guess how many it has? Seven is the number of perfection. It's the number of God. They only have six, which is the number of man. Sure enough, in the Bible, it's 666. The number of man, okay? And that's the difference between God's rainbow and the devil's rainbow. And Jacob's ladder, he is Moses' rod, Gideon's fleece, and David's slingshot. He's the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, and the pearl of great price. He's Peter's shadow, Stephen's vision, and Paul's handkerchiefs. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the sum and substance of this book. I thought that was so good when I read it. A preacher friend in Indiana, a Baptist preacher, sent that out to all his preacher friends, and I said, "Wow, that's good. I gotta hang on to this. Something to be reminded of often. Jesus all through the Bible, so you can look for him in every book." All right, Revelation 20. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Look into your Word tonight. Pray you'd speak to us from it, that we might learn and grow tonight by having been here in your house. We pray that you would help us to see the coming future events and to see how they line up with what is happening now in the world. Lord, help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Help us to see the need to get out this week and tell people about you as the time is drawing closer and closer. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation 20, verse 7, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." Okay, so here we see, we just finished two series on the millennial kingdom of Christ, and we saw that Jesus' reign will be for 1,000 years from literal Jerusalem. And it is going to be the time of the Jews again. The Jewish people are going to bless all nations. And they're going to bless the world. So here we see that it's important to remember that after that 1,000 years, Satan is going to be loosed. And he will go out to deceive the nations once again, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Okay, and notice here, Satan is only able to come out because the angel who imprisons Satan will unlock the prison house or the bottomless pit. Now, if you look on your map, one of your maps is the underworld. Okay, the underworld. This is Clarence Larkin, who is a dispensational Baptist preacher in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He drew this chart, to help us understand a little bit more, to connect the different doctrines of Sheol. If in the Old Testament, when an Old Testament saint died, they went to Sheol, to paradise, to heaven, the heaven part of Sheol. And when someone who didn't believe on the Lord died, the rich man and Lazarus, when Jesus told us about that true story of the rich man and Lazarus who died, where'd the rich man go? To hell. He went to the other side of Sheol, which is the hell side with the fiery torment. Where do people go now? They still go there. They still go to hell. And they still go to the hell side of Sheol. And a lot of people think, okay, where is hell? Well, any clues in the Bible about where hell is? Okay, beneath. How do we know that? Yes, heaven is above, hell is beneath, yes. It gives us the directions. What happened to Korah and all the people who tried to be Korah, the false prophet, who was never saved to begin with, who led that great rebellion against Moses? What happened to him? The earth just swallowed up beneath him, and he went down. What's in the middle of the earth? The core, which is all like molten fire. Then you have magma, which is the outer core. It's a little bit less hot fire, and that's where the volcanoes, when they erupt, you know, that hot lava that comes out, spewing out. I just read that in Tennessee just had a 4.0 earthquake. You say, how is there a fault line in the Midwest there? You know, how is that possible in our area? Well, they're starting to see the fault line starting, or the seismic shift in the earth, and they're seeing right along the lines where years and years ago in Peleg's day, back in Genesis 11, when the earth was divided, the earth used to be one supercontinent. Now, evolutionists will try to say, oh, it was Pangea, and it was, you know, in the billions and billions of years. No, actually, it wasn't billions and billions of years. It was only short time, and that the earth was one supercontinent, remember, until the Tower of Babel, and God had to divide the languages, then they all dispersed in that large supercontinent, and then shortly after the Tower of Babel, in Peleg's day, it says the earth was divided, and that's when the seismic shifts happened, and that's when, literally, people were then pushed across the earth, etc., etc., and they had to relocate and go into their people groups, etc. Okay, so that is, those fault lines are now resurfacing, the old fault lines from that time when the earth was divided, and so now we're seeing fault lines where we haven't seen fault lines before. That back in the 1812, that was the last time an earthquake occurred in Tennessee, and on this magnitude, It's getting to be different now. Well, what's going to happen in the end times when Jesus comes back during the tribulation period? There's going to be seismic shifts all over the place and great big earthquakes. America could be swallowed up by, if Yellowstone earthquake, you know, that fault line ever goes, that's going to erupt, and 2/3 of the United States is going to be either swallowed up or covered with ash and magma. So it's easy to see how the United States is not in the end times. Either we're reduced to such powerlessness because we go along with whatever the Antichrist plan is, or it just, we cease to exist through catastrophic judgments. But at any rate, it's easy to see how these things can line up. And so here we see there at the bottom of the middle of the picture, the abyss, the bottomless pit there, that's where Satan is bound in the bottomless pit. Okay, so the writer writes, it could be where the great gulf is fixed between them, could be connected, we don't know. That we don't know. We don't know where the bottomless pit is, but we do know Satan will be there for 1,000 years. Okay, and where are all the fallen angels that fell back in Genesis? Where are they being held right now? They're in a prison. It says in 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude 6, they're in a prison somewhere. They're reserved in chains and everlasting judgment, okay? And so that's why they call it Tartarus. It's from the Greek word for the prison in 2 Peter 2:4. Okay, that's why he calls it Tartarus, because that's the Greek word that's there. All right, so coming back to Gog and Magog. The revolt will be worldwide and mobilizing vast armies. Satan will conduct them across the breadth of the earth until they come past the camp of the saints, the Holy Land, Israel, in its enlarged state. That literally the new Israel will cover much larger ground than current Israel covers right now. And they will lay siege once more to the beloved city, Jerusalem. From this we see that the unregenerate heart is like a powder magazine. All it needs is a match to set it off. Here now we're in the final of the seven dispensations, the dispensation of, after the dispensation of grace, it's the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be, you know, that Satan will be bound. So all that's left for people to try to fight against is the flesh and the world system. But we see here, even that, many people are going to grow up in the millennial kingdom and they're not going to get saved. And they're going to rebel. Even though they can't rebel outwardly and say, Jesus, I'm not gonna bow to your reign in my life. He will rule with a rod of iron. If they outwardly rebel, he will punish them swiftly. Okay? So it's the inward rebels. And so here we see, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, free from satanic influences, and under them all, he will prove himself, man proves himself to be hopelessly, incurably, and incorrigibly bad. The heart is desperately wicked above all things, who can know it? Even during the millennial kingdom, that's going to be proven out. Even though perfect surroundings, a perfect animal kingdom, people living a lot longer, still the heart of man will still be sinful. And the rebels will follow Satan. If after 1,000 years of the presence of the King, of Jesus, and of universal peace and blessing, man still persists in rebelling against his Maker, what will there be left for God to do? Humanly speaking, there will seem to be nothing for God to do but destroy the human race, to send another flood and wipe out mankind. But this he cannot do, right? For he promised Noah that he would never again destroy the earth with a flood of waters, but do something he must. So he is going to do what? 2 Peter 3:7. Let's turn over there. 2 Peter 3:7. Okay, who has it? Who can read it for us? Paul? Okay, so here, what is God going to do? Verse 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with what? Fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Okay, in the new heavens and the new earth, is there going to be sin there? No, it's righteousness. Some people say, oh no, he's going to start all over again, you know. Oh, I don't want to be involved in that new heavens and earth because he's going to start all over again. No, there's only going to be righteousness in the new heavens and the new earth. And so we don't have to worry about that, and we'll be enjoying all of eternity with the Lord in that time period, in eternity. And so we have so much to look forward to. That's why our life is like the little dot, okay, the little dot right here, okay, if we could hang a spider web and put a little tiny baby spider right there. Boom, there's the dot. That's our life. Okay, all this time before that little dot is all the years, 6,000 years that Earth has already been around and all the generations that have come. Then it's us. We're that tiny little dot. And then what's coming? The rapture, and then the 7-year tribulation, then the 1,000-year millennial kingdom of Christ, then all eternity. And the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem from here on forward to the wall and beyond. So what is our little life It's just a dot. What we do in our little dot makes all the difference in the world as far as how well we get rewarded, as well as how much we'll be grateful to God, as well as far as how if we get a crown up in heaven, there's 5 crowns that we can earn. And so it makes all the difference in the world what we do right now with our lives. So don't let people, especially unsaved people and carnal Christians, try to tell you, oh, it doesn't matter if you go to church Sunday night. Ah, it doesn't matter if you go to church Wednesday night. You say, wait, I'm the little dot, and I'm living my life for God because I want it to count. Because for all the millions of years after, I want Him to be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's why we can never do too much for God, but we can do too little for Him. So let us make Him pleased with our lives. Okay, so here, He will purge the earth with fire. And it says, then the devil that deceived them. Okay, and let's go back to Revelation 20. Revelation 20, and He's going to lead Gog and Magog, okay, the kingdoms of the east. Talks about it in other places. The kingdoms of the east, think of China, right? China is ramping up to be one of the great world powers right now. They are one of the great world powers. They're lending their weapons to not to Russia, but to any communist nation in the southeast. They're lending their weapons and technology to, and they're ramping it up with Afghanistan, Pakistan. They're arming up the terrorists over there, and then Russia's doing the same, arming up all over the place, arming up these rogue nations. Why are they giving them all these weapons? What do they have in common? Russia, China, Afghanistan, Pakistan, some other Muslim nations. What do they all have in common? They have what in common? A one world global government wish with a police surveillance state. If you go to China today, they have cameras on every street corner, in every street, on every street, in all the shops. They have cameras everywhere with facial recognition software. What is that for? They can track exactly where you are going at any time. And remember, as we looked at last week, you have a social status there. You are between a 0 and a 5. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 means you have good credit with the Chinese government, and you can go anywhere you want. That means you're a loyal Communist Party member. You don't say anything bad about the government. You don't say you're not a Christian. You don't believe the Bible. You believe just whatever the Communist Party tells you, and you don't love, you know, you don't love God. You just love the president, and you worship him as the emperor. Okay, that's a 5. But there are many in China, 128 million Christians, who are born-again Christians who are finding out, ooh, I guess we're social outcasts. And they're quickly going to a 0. And when you're a 0, you can't do much of anything anymore. They just enacted this in February. There was 240 pastors, 300 pastors that wanted to go to Australia to David Cloud and the rest and their church's conference on Bible conference, Independent Baptist Pastor Conference. Out of 300 pastors, only 60 of them were able to fly out of the country because the rest had 0 credit score. And you can't fly anymore when you have a 0 credit score. So now they're finding out they are stuck. They are stuck. What does a Christian do when he's stuck in his country? Well, that's what they're now facing. And so they're now having to do underground churches all over the place. They shut down the public churches. That is what is coming with Gog and Magog. Okay? China, Russia, the kingdoms of the north, which would be Russia, kingdoms of the east, kingdoms of the south, which would be, what's the kingdoms of the south? Mind blank here. There's many possibilities, but, okay, Ethiopia, Libya, you could have Egypt, you could have any number, Saudi Arabia, you have many nations to the south of Israel, okay, and they're all picking their sides, whether you want to be part of the free world economy with the United States now pushing back against the globalist society and trying to say, hey, we want our freedom, We want a freedom to be able to say what we want, but then there's many within the United States that say, no, you've got to be politically correct, and we're going to go along with the global line. Okay? We have, in the United States, we have a big tension between religious freedom and those who don't want religious freedom and don't want free speech. Okay? So we've got to decide very carefully who we're going to pick in government the next few years, if the Lord tarries. Okay? So, but eventually it's all going to go toward the one world global government under Gog and Magog. Okay, so coming back to Revelation 20, I just want to show you the other place where it is mentioned about Gog and Magog and we see that it is mentioned in the Old Testament as well about Gog and Magog and the nations that line up there. Okay, but we don't have time to go into that right now. Okay. All right, let us keep going to verse 9, Revelation 20 and verse 9. It says, "And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints round about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." Okay, the use of fire here. God sends fire down. This is going to be a bloodless battle. This is going to be much different than the battle of Armageddon, okay, where Jesus, with the sharp sword that goes out of his mouth, vanquishes until the blood is up to the horse's bridle. Okay, this is going to be a bloodless battle at the end here, because they will be burned up. Now, their bodies will be burned up, but then they will then be sent to judgment to the great white throne. Verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." Okay, pretty much almost everybody at the great white throne judgment will be unsaved. The books are going to be opened. Okay, what is the difference between this judgment and the Matthew 24 judgment, the dividing of the sheep and the goats? That's going to take place at the end of the tribulation, right before the millennial kingdom. That's the judgment of the nations. If you look on your sheet, you have the map on the other side. This is the resurrections and the judgments map. Okay, here you see the sheep and goat judgment of Matthew 24 and 25 happens right before the millennium, right after the tribulation. When is our judgment? The judgment seat for Christians. When is that? That's up in heaven during the 7-year tribulation here on earth. We're up in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ. When is the judgment for the Jews? Well, that's going to happen during the 7-year tribulation. That's when they're going to get purged and judged, etc. Okay, so that will be on earth during the 7-year tribulation. What about the judgment of the great white throne judgment? That happens at the very end, and that's when the souls of the wicked dead are called to judgment. All those that are in Sheol, in hell, the hell side of Sheol, if you look on the other side, all those in the hell side of Sheol are going to then come out of hell to go up to the great white throne judgment, and that's the second resurrection, and then they will then be, if their name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, which none of them in hell will be, but there's a few that are going to be there at the end of the 1,000-year millennial kingdom, possibly, a few that Brother Larkin says, because the Book of Life will be opened, okay? And if their name is not in the Book of Life, some of those that die right at the end of the millennial kingdom, or if they're alive there, okay, some of them will go there, but guess what? Their name, if they're saved, their name is going to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can there be any mistakes at the great white throne judgment? None. Any mistakes at the judgment seat of Christ when we're judged according to our life? None. It's all being written down. There's an angel recorder, as it says in Malachi, recording all of our works for God and all the things we're not doing for God. God is taking careful records right now as we speak. That's why it makes all the difference. You say, well, what about all the people that are, you know, judged according to their works and they're unsaved? Well, that's going to be most at the great white throne judgment. Why are they judged according to their works? Well, there's going to be some very moral people in that judgment. Moral people, they've given to their neighbor. They've done many deeds. They were not as loose and with everyone else. They tried to take care of their family. They lived a good life on our social standing status. Well, they will get a less degree of fire in hell. Whereas those that have been absolutely wicked, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, adulterers, what are they going to get? Well, they're going to get a greater degree of hell. There's three heavens we know about from Scripture. The first heaven, which is our atmosphere here. The second heaven, which is outer space. And the third heaven, which is the throne room of God and the angels up in heaven. Okay, and so can you imagine what hell's levels will be like? Who was it? Dante's Inferno. He described a little bit about levels there in hell. It could be very much somewhat what it is like. And so we see that it's a place where no one is going to want to go because they're going to be cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. And Satan will be cast right in there with him. The deceiver, he does not want us reading Revelation. He hates it when Christians study Revelation and when unsaved people study Revelation. Why? Because it tells us where he's going. It tells us that his rule is limited only for this time. Pretty soon Satan's day is coming where he will be judged and thrown into the lake of fire with the rest of them. And then they'll all be looking at him as Satan is descending, getting thrown into the lake of fire. They'll say, what? This is the man that made the earth to tremble, that shook the kingdoms, and this is the guy we've been following. And at that point, Satan's going to look like just another fallen angel, just like another deceiver. And they'll say, but it'll be too late at that point. All the people in hell won't be celebrating. You know, it's not going to be where Satan's got his pitchfork and he's poking people and kind of ruling hell and having a good party down there, laughing at everyone's misery. Nope. Not that at all. Satan will be burning in unquenchable fire for all eternity himself. And they'll all be saying, why do we follow you? Too late. Too late. And so that's why our job is to do what we are supposed to do, and that is to help rescue people from the fires of hell. Praise the Lord, Franny got saved today. I saw her listening intently to the sermon this morning, and she's been to church before, she's heard the gospel, and D.L. Moody said, you know, more people are going to hell for no other reason than no one's ever asked them, would you like to be saved now? And I can help you with that. You know, and I believe that. The more people than not say yes when I say, would you like to be saved now? You know, they've heard plan of salvation, maybe in bits and pieces, and then I tell them again, and they're able to put it together through the Holy Spirit, and they say yes. On Thursday night, two men got saved there at Meadowview, and as Paul and Holly and TJ and Timmy, as we were out caroling and passing out cookies to two gentlemen, Mr. Hood and another gentleman who he said, well, I hope I'm saved. Well, I pray every day. That's what I pray every day. Well, I said, well, that's not good enough to pray every day. You've got to know that you're born again. That's why God gave us the Bible. You must be born again. You must have a spiritual birthday. So he was a good poet. He shared with me a lot of his poems. So I listened to him. And then he gave me time to talk. And then I shared the gospel. And sure enough, he wanted to do that. He wanted to make sure he was on his way to heaven right there. Okay? And Franny, same thing. I said, well, what do you think? And she said, I want to do that. You know, and she was shaking her head and, please, you know, if someone can just tell me how to be saved, how was it when you dealt with her in the other room? Okay. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. So, you know, people need to be saved now. They need to be rescued from the pit now. because we don't know how many more days we're going to have ahead of us to help them, to get them saved. And then when we get up to heaven, they'll be looking for us when we get up there, you know, and we'll be looking for them and we'll be worshiping the Lord Jesus. Think of eternity's values in view as we live our lives. That's why you have a Christmas program and live nativity drama invite, and there's about 100 more on the back table, or 50 more. Please take these with you. Take a bunch with you. Give them, put one on every neighbor's door and say, hey, can you come with me this Sunday to church? Do 5 of your neighbors, and I guarantee you, 1 out of those 5 are probably going to come. Now, a lot of people are looking for a church this time of year. They're looking for a place to worship God because their conscience is telling them, hey, worship God. You know, hey, you didn't make this heaven or earth, you know. Worship God. And so their conscience is telling them that. The Holy Spirit is drawing them to the Lord. All the Holy Spirit needs is for you to put one of these in their hands. Or to verbally tell them, hey, come with me this Sunday to church. Hear the good news of the Christmas. We're going to have a nice program and there's some great songs and the kids are going to be up there and you'll love it, you know. And all it takes is a nice, simple invitation this time of year to get some of your friends and neighbors and loved ones into church, especially your family members. If you don't tell your family members how to be saved or invite them to church, who else is going to do it? No one else has a burden for them like you do. So don't wait for somebody else. You invite them yourself. All right, so as we close here, we see that death and hell, verse 14, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life gets another chance because we didn't tell him, right? And whosoever was not found written in the book of life goes to purgatory where they burn for a little while, but then eventually if you light enough candles, give enough money to the Catholic Church, they can spring out and go up to heaven, right? No, it's not there. It's not there. They try to get that from the apocryphal books. Apocrypha means fit to be outside of the Scriptures. The word apocrypha means kind of something you take out of your important stuff and tuck it away somewhere where you don't really need it. That's what apocrypha means. And that the King James translators literally, they took all those books that King James and the other Catholic leaders and Anglican leaders said, hey, you need to put those apocryphal books in the Bible, and you better put them in there and translate it and give it to us. So they said, okay, what can we do, Lord, to help people, the common man, to discern that this is not true Scripture? So the Lord gave them the idea, hey, put them all together, put them in the middle of the Bible, and on every page, separate from the Old and the New Testament, in between, and on every page, put the word apocrypha, which means put outside of. Okay? Put that, and then on every page, put apocrypha, so people can clearly see this is not the Scriptures. And sure enough, it worked. The Lord helped people to see, hey, as they read through the apocryphal books, they said, what? What is this Balaam the dragon? And what is this Judas? And this doesn't sound like Scripture. The shepherd of Hermas, you know, this is actually bordering on heresy. This is heresy. You know, what's going on here? And sure enough, the average Christian said, oh, that's why they put it there and they labeled it apocrypha, because it doesn't belong. And so sure enough, in the subsequent editions, that got thrown out of the Bible believers. But they had to put it in to begin with because the leaders who commissioned them told them to. Okay? So you can see how God moved to help Christians get it out. And so if anyone says, well, the King James in 1611 had the Apocrypha in it, notice carefully what the translators did. They helped Christians discern that belongs in a drawer somewhere out of the Bible. Okay, so that's the next time somebody tries to tell you, oh, yeah, well, the King James had it in. Well, they were forced to, and they helped people learn the truth. Okay, and so these are things that I'm learning as I read from Dr. Waite's books and from David Daniels' books and from the things that they had at the Dean Burgon Society. These are things that every Christian needs to know, but sadly it's not being told because the agenda is many versions, one world Bible, just go with the flow, don't make a, you know, but that's not the way of God. The way of God is, hey, we have the Word of God. Jesus said, not one jot or one tittle shall be removed till all be fulfilled. Okay? If Jesus said not one little dot on the I and one little cross of the T, she'll be moved or changed. Guess what? The new versions change a lot more than a dot on an I and a crossing of a T. They take out whole verses. They change whole verses. They take out whole doctrines. They change doctrines. They try to. Okay, so let's not go with that flow. Jesus said He would preserve His words, and He has in the King James and in other faithful versions in the Spanish, the old Reina Valera Antigua and Reina Valera Gomez. And so there are good translations. You just have to look for them. There's good Bible societies that will help you. The Trinitarian Bible Society is a good one. Dr. Waite's group, Dean Burgon Society, helps find good translations in all the languages. So let us be diligent as we help people get saved and help them grow. Let us bow our heads, every head bowed, every eye closed, as we close this service. As we think on these things, how do we apply a message like this to our lives? How do we, when we think about Satan's rebellion, the battle of Gog and Magog, and the great white throne judgment, Lord, what should I do with my life regarding these things? What would the Lord have us to do tonight? Maybe to give us a greater burden for those around us. That I can't get away from every time reading Revelation to say, oh Lord, what about those that are not saved yet? Oh Lord, what about the Christians that are not living for You, not trying to earn a crown? Lord, what can I do? That's what we need to ask ourselves. Let's have a time of silent prayer. I'm going to ask Trisha to come as we stand to our feet, and I'm just going to have her play. As we think on these things, number 711, let us stand to our feet, and as she plays through that one time, let us continue praying to God and just asking the Lord, what can I do this Christmas to help others come to the truth or come back to the truth? 7-Eleven. Let us sing that first verse. When He cometh to make up His jewels, all His jewels, precious jewels, His love and His... Would you come as we sing this song? The stars of the morning, His bright... Would you pray for a soul? Would you pray for that Christian who's backslidden? Would you pray for that unsaved soul? Or maybe the one you just led to Christ? Would you come and kneel at the altar for them? He will gather the gems for His kingdom. All the pure ones, all the bright ones, His loved and His own. Like the stars of the morning, His bright crowns adorning, He will shine in their beauty, bright gems for His crown. Little children, who love their Redeemer, all the jewels, precious jewels, His loved and His own. Like the stars of the morning, His bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright. bright gems for his crown. Amen. Let us keep praying for Patty, and appreciate prayer for my family, for those that are sick, and anyone else who's battling sickness at this time. And let us pray for souls to be saved this week in the Good News Club, or Christians to grow in the Atlantic Adult Day Center as we go Thursday for caroling. Pray for more souls to be saved over there. Some of them have moved out, so we're having to now build our church group again due to some moving out and moving away. So let us pray for more souls to be saved over at Atlantic, and pray for Roy as well. How's Roy doing tonight, Carol? Okay. Let's pray for him. All right, anyone else to pray for? Okay, let's pray for Angela Straw.
For the families of the shooting in Illinois, it makes me feel sad that so many college students are, that people were killing college students in Illinois.
Yes, yes, we're seeing demonic possession. All right, Brother Bob, can you pray for those two things?
On Friday, Tim will be having a surgery.
Okay, let's pray for Tim Gibson on Friday as well. So, Tim, Angela Straw, and the shooting victims, yes. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Let's pray for him. If he did make a profession, for there to be some kind of spiritual fruit, and if he's not saved, for us to know that as well. All right. Anyone else? All right. This time, let's close in prayer. Brother Bob, would you close?
Feel good about their life. And then, of course, there's plenty of institutions in the world that will help them to spin that image so that they can be able to condemn them and that they, in fact, would be lost. We just thank you for including all these things, battles and judgments and all, that we might be able to keep mindful of these so that we might be able to increase the urgency of our mission here on earth. And we just pray that as we would be able to understand these things, that we would be able to use them as tools of bringing these who have not heard of you or accepted you as Lord and Savior yet. It might be enough to trip the balance in the favor of them becoming saved. And we just ask, Lord, that you would use these things in a mighty way, that we would learn what they are so that we can be almost daily conversant with them. And we just ask that you would allow us to use these things as mighty tools. We just thank you for taking care of us and basically keeping us together as a group here. And we thank you so much for the way that you have added individual blessings to our lives, that we might be able to overcome the things that we have to overcome, and that you would allow us to continue on for you. We just thank you for these ones who have shown interest in being touched by you to be healed, who have continuing battles in their bodies, because we know that mortal body is a real destroyer. And we just ask, Lord, that you would allow them the victory. These ones that were enumerated, we just pray, especially as we think of Roy tonight and Patty, who have both come through so very much. But we know, Lord, that their trip on earth here is not done. And we just pray that you would continue to give them the grace for each and everything that they must do each and every day. And we just ask that you would bless us being better for having been in your house this night, as you would dismiss us with your blessing. For it's in Christ's name we ask all of these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen.